What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Here's my favorite rant for the day, excerpted from our podcast, which you can find over at TomHartmann.com.
Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you. The Guardian is reporting this, Dana Nucicelli writing just an extraordinary headline. The EPA debunked Administrator Pruitt's latest climate misinformation. Scott Pruitt, another cokehead, right-wing congressional troll that has made his way into the Trump administration, is now the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And living high on the hog, by the way, we'll get to that in just a moment. And he did a radio interview last week where he says he doesn't know with precision what's causing global warming. He says our activity contributes to the climate change to a certain degree. Now, measuring that with precision, I think, is more challenging than is let on at times. Really? Why is it that the world scientists don't have the difficulty that you have, Scott Pruitt? Oh, that's right. Their entire political career hasn't been funded by petro-billionaires. Dana Nucicelli writes, here's what the EPA website said about that a year ago before Pruitt got hold of it as part of the Trump administration's systematic deletion of government climate change websites. Quote, this is what the EPA's website used to say before cokehead Trump came along. Research indicates that natural causes do not explain most observed warming, especially warming since the mid-20th century. Rather, it is extremely likely that human activities have been the dominant cause of that warming. The IPCC went on to conclude with 95% confidence that humans are the main cause of global warming since 1950. Then Pruitt lies again. He says, I think there's an assumption that because the climate is warming, that is necessarily a bad thing. Like, gee, scientists don't think this is so bad. Oh, I mean, you know, it's kind of cold in Michigan in the winter. Wouldn't it be nice if it was a degree or two warmer? Well, no, because this warming rapidly doesn't just warm everything. It makes weather go to extremes. So we now have extreme cold in Washington, D.C. in the winter, extreme heat in the summer, not just Washington, D.C., but, you know, I lived there for 7 years. I know what it was like. And it's not. This is not a matter of assumptions, by the way, as Dana Nucicelli writes in the Guardian. It's a conclusion supported by a vast body of scientific research. For example, here's what the EPA said before Pruitt took it down. Quote, scientific studies indicate that extreme weather events such as heat waves and large storms are likely to become more frequent or more intense with human-induced climate change. It's the Environmental Protection Agency itself, the nation's scientists, saying this. Of course, Scott Pruitt has taken that off their websites. And then he goes on to say, you know, not only won't it not be so bad, but, you know, hey, a warmer world might just be a wonderful thing for humans. We did really well when the world was warm before. Well, actually, not so much. Here's what Pruitt said. He said, is it an existential threat? Is it something that's unsustainable? Or what kind of effect or harm is this going to have? We know that humans have flourished during times of, what, warming trends? Do we know what the ideal surface temperature should be, the year 2100 or the year 2018? It's fairly arrogant for us to think we know exactly what it should be in 2100. Well, the one thing we do know it should be in 2100, if we want to still have, you know, civilization, is stable. It's stability in temperature that has allowed the agricultural revolution to happen. We've had a stable environment for about 10 or 11,000 years. Prior to that, it was hot, cold, you know, sea levels going up and down. All kinds of things were changing for reasons that had nothing to do with man-made climate change. But they were changing, and not as rapidly as now, by the way. But they were changing, and they drove people in and out of areas. I mean, you know, into Europe, out of Europe, you know, kill off the Neanderthals, et cetera, et cetera. And then toward the end of the interview, Pruitt, as Dana writes, let slip his allegiance to the fossil fuel industry. This is Scott Pruitt speaking. Renewables need to be part of our energy mix, but to think that's going to be the dominant fuel or dominant energy source on how we generate electricity, I think it's simply fanciful. There was a declared war on coal. The EPA was weaponized against certain sectors of our economy, fossil fuels generally, and that's not the role of a regulator. That's such BS. The EPA was not weaponized. The job of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is to protect the environment. And coal damages the environment. In fact, the Clean Air Act, which was, you know, the Supreme Court just recently said, yes, the Clean Air Act does mandate that the EPA regulate carbon dioxide. This is the law. And then he says, you know, we can't do it. Sorry. Well, Hawaii is going to be 100% renewable by 2045. California and New York, 50% renewable by 2030. And California is going to hit that goal by 2020. Then Pruitt lies again. He says, Paris was a bad business deal for this country. It was not about CO2 reduction. If it was about CO2 reduction, they would not have let China and India take until 2030 to reduce their CO2 footprint. That's, again, a lie. Scott Pruitt, the cokehead administrator of the EPA. All you have to do, you know, all we would have to do to hit our targets was just keep doing exactly what we're doing. Paris, in addition to being non-binding, really didn't have that much impact on the United States. And China has actually pledged a more aggressive, you know, climate mitigation effort than they agreed to in Paris. And they're doing it, by the way. Pruitt seems to think, Dana Nudicelli writes for The Guardian, seems to think his job is to maximize fossil fuel industry profits. Sorry. He's not in charge of Koch Industries. His job is to protect human and environmental health, and it's hard to imagine anyone doing a job any worse. Well, there is something he does quite well, Scott Pruitt. He travels in luxury. This from Daniel Alperin and Brady Dennis in today's Washington Post, or Saturday's Washington Post. On Monday, June 5th, accompanied by his personal security detail, Pruitt settled into his $1,600 first-class seat for a short flight from D.C. to New York. Now, you could take the train ride for $200, and it's about the same amount of time when you consider going through security and everything, or you can fly coach for $200, but Scott Pruitt, $1,600 a year taxpayer money. That Wednesday, after traveling with Trump on Air Force One for an infrastructure event in Cincinnati, Pruitt and several staffers raced to New York on a military jet at the cost of $36,000. From there, he caught a plane to Rome. The transatlantic flight was part of a round-trip ticket for Pruitt that cost $7,000. In Rome, Pruitt got private tours of the Vatican and met with papal officials. In total, a taxpayer-funded trip for travel for Pruitt and his top aides during that stretch in early June cost at least $90,000. This guy who is doing nothing but suck up to and do the bidding of the petrobillionaires in the fossil fuel industry is living high on the hog, just like the billionaire funders who own him. That figure does not account for the cost of Pruitt's round-the-clock security detail, which have not been disclosed. So it's even worse than we know. Last year, Pruitt promoted U.S. natural gas exports in Morocco. This year, he plans to travel to Israel, Australia, Japan, Mexico, and possibly Canada. All, of course, will be, you know, on a flatbed seat costing $7,000 to $8,000 a pop that we're paying for. Wherever Pruitt's schedule takes him, he often flies first or business class, citing unspecified security concerns. Right. He's so worried. The environmentalists are going to get him. In a 2-8-day period of last July, 2 days, he spent $4,400 for separate round trips to Birmingham and Atlanta. On at least four occasions, he spent between $2,000 and $2,600 on first class airfare to official meetings or tours near Tulsa. Guess what's in Tulsa? His home. Yes, you're paying for first-class trips to Tulsa for Scott Pruitt so he can visit his house. His other first-class trips include a $4,600 round-trip itinerary to Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, and Little Rock to promote the unraveling of an Obama administration water regulation. Then he made stops in Colorado, Iowa, North Dakota, and Texas. Cost $10,800. He gave a keynote address at the Heritage Foundation. That trip cost you and me $3,000. It just goes on and on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Plus, he's keeping all his travel on Delta Airlines, fare be damned, so that he can jack up all those frequent flyer miles to travel to fly his family around for free. How is the next recession going to play out? How badly is the Republican Party corrupting the United States government and the world in which we live? And how deadly has the alt-right gotten? It's all very surprising stuff. Check it out. You can get our commercial-free podcast at tomhartman.com. You can see clips from the program right here on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.